Mother's Day morning, it can be a whole heap of fun. I reckon particularly when the kids are young and when they come into the bedroom in the morning with, you know, this homemade breakfast that, well, okay, I'm speaking like they're doing it, but from the father's point of view, you've helped. And the toast is burnt and the tea is cold and there's too much sugar in it. But it's a buzz. It's an amazing privilege to be able to have those little people bring those cards that they've handmade or the necklace of pasta pieces that they put together at school. And you can see the smile on Mum's face, even when she knows she'll be the one cleaning all this up. More likely than not. It's a fun morning. And as kids grow up, Mother's Day, it continues to be a special morning and a special day. Restaurants across town will be booked out for lunch today. There'll be big family gatherings in your homes as you kind of make a fuss of Mum. It's this small way that we kind of reflect on and appreciate everything that Mum's done for us. There'll be phones busy as people ring, Mums who are at a distance or FaceTime these days or Messenger or whatever it is, because Mums are special and it's a special day. It's one day in the year when you kind of look back on what your mums have done for you, all the nappies they've changed, the loads of washing they've done, the way they read books to you, taught you songs, the school lunches they've made, driving around in the mum's taxi, the birthday parties they organised, being your team manager for a sport they've got no interest in, taking out the splinters in your fingers and putting the band-aids on, the last minute shopping trips for this or that, and as you get a bit older, straightening your hair maybe. It's one of those days where we just thank mums for all that they've done for us. For those who now have a family of your own, you still thank your mum for having the kids, for minding them while you went and did this or that, for looking after the pets, for coming and minding your house while you go on a holiday, for just being there, someone you can talk to, bounce things off. Mums are special, and today is a day when we want to encourage the mums who are part of our church and the grandmothers as well. And we want to be able to thank God for these women. And we also want to have a sermon, I reckon, which looks at what God thinks about mums and families. And so that's what we're doing. This week on the radio, I heard about a school in Melbourne where they'd given up on Mother's Day for this year. They're going to have, well, they were going to have celebrations of, or an appreciation day. And when I first heard it, it made me angry. I just thought, that's nonsense. That's rubbish. But then as I thought about it, I thought, yeah, well, there's kids who don't have a mum. There's kids who don't have a normal family around them. And so, yeah, maybe there's a place for having an appreciation day, recognising the carers that look after them. But then I Googled a little bit and read about the school and what was happening and thought, no, actually, it seems to me the motivation behind this is to challenge the traditional definition of family in an attempt to be inclusive. And at that point, I just felt sad. It's the logical next step. If you redefine marriage, well, you'll be redefining family too. And it's sad because mums are special. And so is family. And when you open the Bible, you see that actually to God, family is a good part of his creation. It's his design. So if you have a look, I don't know if you're a quick Bible flipper or not, but if you're not, there might be the verses on the screen behind might help you. If you have a look back in Genesis chapter 1, this is where everything gets set up in Genesis. So you read these verses and you see, you get an understanding of why God's made us and the way in which is, or how he's made us. And so 1 verse 26 of Genesis goes, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they can rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God made mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he made them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. God made us, men and women, in his image, to be like him," and as you read through the verses, "to be like him in the way that we're able to rule over this earth under him. He made us so that, male and female, so that we would be fruitful and fill the earth." There's a special place for family in the way God has made us. Genesis chapter 1, it is an amazing part of the Bible. It's so concise, it's so compact, it's so compressed in basically a page. It tells us about the creation of the whole universe. And so it's not going to tell us everything about the creation of the universe, but it's telling us very important things. And as you look at it on Mother's Day, you realize, yeah, God's made us purposefully. God's made us male and female. Both genders are purposeful in God's creation. Gender is part of God's purpose in making us. He's designed us that way so that we can fill this earth and rule it under him. God's designed men and women to have children, mums and dads and children. We're part of God's plan. Family is part of God's good design. And then when you look at the end of Genesis chapter 1, the last verse says, God saw all that he has made and it was very good. It's the way God wanted it. It's his design and it's good. Family is part of God's good design. The way, I mean, you think about it, the way we're conceived, the way we're knit together in our mother's womb, it's incredible. There's this bond between a mother and a child, and a father and a child, a bond which you can't replace. Genesis chapter 1, everything about creation was very good. And then you turn to Genesis chapter 2, and it starts to unpack gender a little more, I reckon, as you read it. As you read, you discover that Adam was actually made before Eve, and then Eve was made intentionally to be the perfect companion for Adam, to be a helper for Adam. It's like Genesis 2 unpacks Genesis 1 verse 27 and shows you what it looks like. And then at the end of Genesis chapter 2, it ends with this verse. It says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. It's just another picture at the family relationship, this total openness between the husband and wife. It's this reason why we're made men and women. I'd prefer to keep stating the positive, that marriage between a man and a woman is part of God's good design. But in 2019 in Australia, I've got to also state the negative. You can't defend the redefinition of marriage to include same-gender relationships. You can't do that with your Bible open. It doesn't work. It's not what you read. You need to close your Bible. You need to suppress what's in the Bible to come to that conclusion, to redefine marriage in that way. Redefining marriage to include same-sex relationships, it may be inclusive in its intention. It may feel like the right thing to do to make it easier for same-sex couples to have their important relationship recognised. But same-sex relationships are not what we see in God's design for men and women and family. Redefining marriage and family like that, it's going against God's design and God's desire. It's not just an Old Testament thing. When you come to the New Testament, you'll see it as well. When you read through Romans chapter 1, as the Apostle Paul is talking about God revealing his wrath on our sin, he talks about sin as the suppression of the truth, denying what we know to be right, denying what we know to be right about God. And as he lists off the behaviours that sin expresses itself in, there's same-sex relationships among it. And as you read this as a Christian and you feel conflicted because you feel like this is so harsh, you think, no, it's God loves us. God loves us like a parent loves his children. Even when we ignore and suppress the truth about God, he still holds out a hand to welcome us back. I mean, think about the parable that Jesus tells of the prodigal son and the father welcoming him home. But I think the point where many people, including Christians, misunderstand the gospel is we forget about the need for repentance. We proclaim forgiveness without repentance. We proclaim Jesus as our Saviour, not as our Lord. When you become a Christian, God welcomes everyone and anyone, but he works in us to change us. Becoming a Christian means wanting to be obedient to God's way and wanting to trust God enough to know that his design is best. His way of doing things is best. And so they're all the hard things that I feel like I've got to point out on Mother's Day in 2019 in Australia because it conflicts with the world around us. But there's no anger in it, there's no hurt in it. It's a desire to trust God enough to live his way and to respect the way that he's made us, even when that might be different to what we want and what we think we need. So Genesis chapter 1 and 2, they show us God's good design, but we've got to acknowledge that we live in a life that's impacted by sin. And so as you turn to Genesis chapter 3, you see that begin. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they allowed themselves to be deceived by Satan. They doubted God's goodness. They doubted that what God's plan was for them was the best. They allowed themselves to be deceived. They declared their independence of God. They suppressed what God wanted them to do. They deviated from God's instructions, and so God judged them for their disobedience, and part of that judgment impacts on family. And so if you look at Genesis 3, verse 16, you start to see it there. So Genesis 3, 16, to the woman he says, I'll make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labour you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. You look at that verse and think, wow, having a family is going to be a hard thing. Maintaining family relationships, even between the husband and the wife, is a challenge. In the second half of verse 16 there, the husband and the wife, they'll be either competing with each other rather than working together, or perhaps you get a little window there into the cycle of domestic violence. Either way, it's a broken relationship. And the first half of the verse, childbearing is now painful. We endure difficulties in conception, in birth, and even in raising kids. And back to the second half of the verse, keeping families together, it's a challenge. Three short chapters in Genesis, extremely concise, and yet it shows you the backdrop for the world that we live in, shows you the pattern of this world we live in. We live in a world that's built by God, a good world, where we're shown God's design and his desire for families, but we live in a world that's impacted by sin and under the judgment of God. That's the beginning of the story, but it describes the world we live in until Jesus comes. So as you come to the New Testament, Jesus arrives, he's born into this life, this earth, as a new Adam. He doesn't come in the line of the old Adam. This is the way the New Testament talks about it. He comes without sin. He doesn't have the sinful nature that we grow up with, being descended from Adam and Eve. Jesus is perfect, and the perfect man dies for us. He dies an undeserving death. God the Father poured out his wrath, his anger at our sin, on Jesus. He absorbed God's punishment for us. So through Jesus' death in our place, we can stand forgiven before God. So we live in this world that God's made. We live in a world that Adam and Eve have introduced sin into, and we live in a world that's now waiting for Jesus to return, for him to rule over everything, for justice to prevail. And until that day, as Christians, we strive to make our families reflect God's purpose and God's design. So mums are special, so is family. Family is a good is part of God's good design. It's impacted by sin as we live in this world waiting for Jesus to return. I think as we look at families and mothers, I think it's very easy for us to downplay the role of mothers. Reflecting back on that Proverb 31 that was read for us, in the first nine verses you get this these sayings of King Lemuel's mum. You see the important place of a mum teaching her son. And then in the rest of the proverb, it paints this picture of the wife of noble character. If you've got the ESV, it's the excellent wife, a woman whose husband has full confidence in her. She conducts business. She provides food for the family. She buys real estate. She's industrious. She's creative. She's generous. She speaks with wisdom. It's a picture of a woman who does everything well, and it praises her for what she does, and it's inspiring. It doesn't in any way limit the woman's ambition. Quite the opposite. It encourages her to be ambitious, to do all these things. But at the same time, it doesn't downplay, doesn't sideline the role of being a mum. Motherhood, it's a special part of God's creation. And as Christians, we want to be continuing to model that, to show that and encourage that, and not allow the world around us to make us cheapen being a mum, spending time with the kids, or being a father, spending time with the kids. Like, let's change angle a bit as we come to the other passage that was read for us. Let's come to Ephesians chapter 6. So now we're thinking about how we should be treating our mums or our parents. Our other Bible reading was from Ephesians 6 verses 1 to 4, where we're told to honour our parents. As Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians, he's actually quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting the fifth commandment. In Exodus chapter 20, when God gathered the people of Israel, he saved them out of slavery in Egypt, gathered them around Mount Sinai. He gave them commandments. He gave them instructions and laws for them to live by as his people. If they belong to him, they will live like this. And as you look across the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments focus on how the people are to behave towards God. And then the rest are focused on how we should behave towards other people. And the first one, in the second half of the Ten Commandments, is in Exodus 20, verse 12, honour your father and your mother so that you may live a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. So when God saved his people, made them his own, he specifically said, treat your parents well, honour your parents, so you'll enjoy the life in this land I'm giving you. Now, as you come to the New Testament, the special place of parents, it remains, it continues. And so when the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, he quotes the same commandment, honour your parents, honour your father and your mother. And so as Christians, how can we not? And so I suppose the question is, are you? Do you? It ought to be easy to honour your parents after everything they've done for you. And it ought to be easy to honour your parents when you think about what they would give up for you. They've always got your best interest at heart. They're always looking out for you. They're not going to ask you to do something that's not good for you. It should be easy to honour your parents. Your mum, she changed your nappy when you were little. She fed you. She put your band-aids on your sores. She helped you with your homework. What I'm saying is our mothers want what's best for us. It ought to be easy to obey them and do exactly what they want. But like anything, we make a meal of it. So I reckon, yeah, let's try harder at honouring our parents. What does it mean to honour your mother? What does it mean to honour your father? What does it look like? Well, I reckon it changes as you grow older. We want to show our respect for our parents and the role that God has given them in our lives. When you're little, yeah, I think obedience is the big thing. But as you grow older, I think honouring your parents becomes more important, because as you become an independent adult, you form your own opinions. You will differ with your mum and dad, particularly if they're not a Christian and you are. But the way you disagree, you can do that in a way that honours them, in a way that respects them, in a way that doesn't talk them down around your friends. I think we need to remind ourselves and remind each other that we honour our mothers and our fathers out of respect for God, because that's what he's asked us to do. And as you think about it, when you read through the Gospels, you discover in Luke chapter 2 that even Jesus honoured his earthly parents. You know that story about him in the temple? And then after that it says, Luke 2:51, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. You think about that, it's, I suppose, a blended family. You could think about it that way. But here's God's son, Jesus, as a man, doing what God wants, treating family the way God wants him to treat family, honouring his parents, obeying them. And that, it kind of blows your mind the more you think about Jesus in that situation. As Christians, we seek to honour and obey our parents while putting Jesus first in everything. Because even Jesus, when you read through the New Testament, he expected his disciples to give up everything to follow him. He expected those fishermen to walk away from their father. So yeah, we honour our parents, but we always put Jesus first. We're followers of Jesus primarily. So as Mother's Day 2019 rolls around again, if you're a mum, hopefully thinking about these things, hopefully it is encouraging for you. Being mum, it has its high points. As you're reminded of the blessings of being a mother and the gift of having children, being a mother, it has its low points when you endure the damaging implications of living in a world where sin's been introduced and where we're waiting for Jesus to return. But as Christians, we press on. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We keep trying to serve him. Keep loving your children. Keep serving them and looking out for them. Keep teaching them the truth about God and praying that God will be the one that works in them and changes them. If you're not a mum but would dearly like to be? Well, take comfort in the fact that there's more to life than being a parent. And I think you see that in God's instructions, Jesus' instructions to give up everything to follow him. What's most important is that we're living for God. Interestingly, too, there's another verse. I'm not sure if I got the right one. Where this is Jesus. He says, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave birth and nursed you." And he replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Just keep that little perspective on everything. What's most important is that we keep obeying God, keep living for him, keep feeding our faith in Jesus. So, yeah, Mother's Day 2019, great time to be thankful for our mums. For those who have lost our mums, to be able to thank God for all that they've done in our lives. Good time for us to reflect on what it means to be a Christian family and what we're aiming at as Christians. And a good time to be reminded that there is more. We need to be trusting God and living for him. I'm going to pray for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the amazing way that you did make us. Thank you for making us men and women. Lord, thank you for the gift of family and of children. Lord, thank you too for your gift of this church. Thank you for the way that we can be family to each other.